As I said, it's great to see each one here this evening. And before we open the meeting, we'll just speak to God in prayer. Father in heaven, we come into your presence and we're grateful that we can have this opportunity to be together this evening. And we recognize how lightly we can take our own lives sometimes. And the time it can go by so quickly, and we often don't appreciate even just the time that we have here on this earth. But we would just take this moment to thank you for it. Thank you for this time that we have. And we would just pray that it may be a beneficial moment here this evening where we can open your word and talk about it together, and each one of us might learn something from it. And we just pray especially for those who know the gospel message well, and we just pray that even tonight they may be able to accept the truth of the gospel for themselves. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll open with a verse in John chapter 3. I'll say something briefly maybe about a verse in John chapter 3, and then we'll move on to another verse. I can't sing that verse or that hymn, "How Great Thou Art, or Lord My God," without thinking just especially of that verse number 2. For those of you who knew my father, you knew he liked spending time in the woods. And for those of you who don't know, he passed away several years ago. But anytime other people lose a close family member, this kind of thing happens. And, just kind of brings you back to memories that you have. And anyways, for those, the members of the Hurley High family, you know that the assembly in O'Leary is there for you guys. And I'm just visiting here, but being able to be an extended part of that family. Our thoughts and prayers are with you guys. But I wanted to read John 3 and verse 36, because that's the verse that gave my dad peace about his own salvation. So John chapter 3, verse 36. Says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." That was really what my dad appreciated, was just the simplicity of this verse. And it's one of the realities of the gospel message. The gospel message, the Bible, can be sometimes a little bit blunt. It can sometimes be a little bit brutally honest. And it just tells it like it is. And sometimes that bothers us, as I often prefer when people sugarcoat things a little bit, when they make it sound a little bit nice, just to make me feel better. But the Bible doesn't always do that. Sometimes the Bible just tells us, this is your situation. And here tonight, you can really ask yourself, what part of this verse are you in? You can ask yourself, am I currently believing on the Lord Jesus Christ? Do I right now have my faith in the work that Jesus did on the cross? And if right now you have your faith in the work that the Lord Jesus did on the cross, this verse says, you have everlasting life. But if right now you're not sure, maybe you're wondering, you don't know for sure, was Jesus really who he claimed to be? Does the Bible really tell us the truth about him? Is there really a God? You're not sure? Well, the second part of the verse says, if you don't believe, you won't see life. And unfortunately, the verse goes on to say there's judgment. There's wrath. There's judgment for sin that will fall upon you. But tonight, our the reason why the Christians in O'Leary have this meeting, and they sometimes ask visiting people to speak, because they want to be able to share this gospel message with you. That if you believe on the Son, you can have everlasting life. I'd like to just turn over, if you'll turn over with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I just read through 1 Timothy recently myself and was just enjoying this verse. It's one of the verses that I remember hearing people speak on a lot when I was a kid. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 15. So this is the Apostle Paul speaking, and we call him the Apostle Paul because that's who he became known as. But we will see in this verse that title wasn't always who he was. 1 Timothy 1 and 15 says, "This is a faithful saying." It's a truthful saying and worthy of all acceptation. This is something that the Apostle Paul would love for you to accept. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then he adds this little detail at the end, "of whom I am chief." So he says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." So I was just wanting for us to talk a little bit about who is Jesus Christ, what did he do to save sinners, and then we'll maybe talk a little bit about what's the importance of Paul adding at the end, "of whom I am chief." What can be the importance of that? So first of all, the Bible is very clear that Jesus Christ, we put those two titles together. The Bible is very clear that Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus was God himself. So God, the creator of this world, he sent his Son into this world. And that's where it says that Christ Jesus came into this world. So that's what we celebrate at Christmas time. We celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus into this world. And we celebrate that because the verse says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So that tells me that Jesus Christ didn't come into this world just by accident, didn't just happen to be that way. Jesus Christ came into this world with a purpose. There's a reason why Jesus came into this world. When he came, Jesus lived a perfect life. Every day he showed to his family members, to his friends, to the crowds around him, he showed that he was perfect. But that's not why Jesus came. His perfection, the fact that he could live a perfect life, is a proof to us that Jesus is God. But he didn't come to just live a perfect life, to show us a great example, and then to leave. You know, there's many people that we know, and they have lived a life, a great example. And I'm sure, you know, when we lose a family member, we think of their legacy, we think of things that they did and how they lived their lives, and we appreciate different things, and we can appreciate that they left, in a way, an example. That's how I want to live my life. And we would say, well, the Lord Jesus left the best example. He showed exactly how we can live a self-sacrificial life. You know, the Lord Jesus was constantly helping those who were poor. You know, I know that the Lord Jesus, when the Lord Jesus walked into a crowd of people, he would have known right away, who's the people here who are hurting? Who's the people here who are going through some tough times? Who's the people here who they're in need of encouragement and they're in need of support? And Jesus would have gone to those people. You know, Whereas us, oftentimes, you know, we walk into a crowd and we think, okay, who's the funniest person that I can hang out with and have a good time and have a good laugh and enjoy myself? Or who can I be with that they're going to make me look good? The Lord Jesus would have gone to the lowest, the people that we may try to ignore a little bit. You know, the Lord Jesus was known for spending time with sinners. The religious people of his day almost looked down at him and wondered, why would he spend time with these people who they're not good people? They're making bad choices in their life. They're known as sinners. Those are the people the Lord Jesus spent time with. So we could say, well, he left us this wonderful example of human life, how to live, and he did. But that's not why this verse tells us the Lord Jesus came into the world. He came into this world with one purpose. It says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. To save sinners. Now this morning we had a Sunday school lesson. We were talking about what the word Savior means. And one of the kids, very impressively, was able to explain that, well, a Savior is someone who rescues you when you're in danger and makes you safe. And that's perfect. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus did when it says he came into the world to save sinners. So that means that the Lord Jesus came into this world and he knew there's people here that are in danger. Now we learned from John 3 that because of sin, there's wrath from God. There's judgment. God is a righteous judge. He must judge sin. And there's going to be judgment, eternal judgment for sin. And so the Lord Jesus came to rescue, to save those who are in danger. I don't know how much time you spend with people who are Christians or how much Bible jargon, I guess, you're familiar with. But in the Gospel Hall, anyways, we use the word save, to be saved, or are you saved? We use that pretty commonly. And I feel like, you know, for me, I grew up in the hall and I always knew what that meant. I always knew if I was saved or if I wasn't. You know, there was always something very clear in my mind. Because I was taught that from a young age. But, you know, if that's something you're like, oh, to be saved, what does that mean when I hear the Christians talk about being saved, or are you saved? Well, this is one of the verses that we can get that from. The Lord Jesus came to save sinners. So if someone asked you, we won't do that maybe at the door, but if someone was having a conversation, invited you out for coffee, and just asked, like, hey, by the way, like, would you say you're saved? Well, they mean, has Christ Jesus rescued you? Are you currently safe? Are you currently in the first part of John 3 and 36? Are you currently in the people who are on their way to heaven? They're on the narrow way. They're safe. They're inside the door. You know, if you're inside the door, you feel shelter. And there's a storm, you're inside, you're safe. And this verse says that's exactly why Jesus Christ came into the world. To save, to rescue. He wants you to be safe. The verse says, he came into the world to save sinners. Came into the world to save sinners. Now, sinners and sin is another word that, you know, when you read the Bible a lot, it comes up all the time. But, you know, if you're anything like me, you go to work or you go whatever. If you're a student, the kids here, you know, you go to school, your classmates, I don't think they talk about sinners very often. It's something that we think a lot about when we talk about the Bible. But what does that mean, to be a sinner? What does that mean? Well, it means I have done things that break God's law. There's some things that God has told me to do, such as love my neighbor as myself. And those kind of things, well, there's sometimes I do it and there's sometimes I don't. And I fall short of God's standard. I don't reach his standard that he has set for me to love my neighbor as myself. I don't show that level of love. So I'm a sinner. There's other laws that God has told us, given us, like don't tell a lie. Things that I'm just not supposed to do. And some of those things I have done. So I'm a sinner because of that as well. So in many different ways, I do things that are against God. And therefore, I am a sinner. But something that is amazing about the gospel message, like I mentioned, sometimes the Bible can be a little bit blunt or in our face. But the Bible is very clear. Jesus is very clear. He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Well, we know from the Bible that no one's righteous. So what's he talking about? He's talking about people who think they're righteous. Well, if the Lord Jesus walked into this hall and he started preaching the message, the Lord Jesus would be able to look inside your heart and know, does this person think they are okay? Does this person think, you know what, I think I'm kind of all right with God. I think that when I die, God might accept me into heaven because I've tried to live a good life. The Lord Jesus would be able to know all of the thoughts and how we feel about ourselves. But Jesus wouldn't, the Lord Jesus, he wouldn't be looking for those people who thought they were righteous, thought they were good. Lord Jesus would be seeking in the hearts of each one tonight for someone who says, I'm just a sinner. The Bible tells me I'm a sinner, and I'm just going to believe what the Bible says. I'm going to say, God, you're right. You tell me I'm a sinner, I believe I'm a sinner, and I need to be forgiven. So those are the people that the Lord Jesus came to save. He came to save people who are sinners, people who know they've done what is wrong. Well, what did the Lord Jesus do to save us? He came and he preached the gospel. He preached the message. He told people to come to him. But he didn't just say those words, come to him. He also did something. When we think of Christianity, we often think of the cross. It's often the symbol of Christianity is the cross. And why do we think of the cross? Well, it's because Jesus went to the cross. And that's where he gave up his life. He died on the cross for you and for me. And when he was on the cross, the sins that I have done, he took those sins and he bore those himself. The Bible tells us that he bore our sin in his own body on the tree. So the Lord Jesus took those sins upon himself and he paid for them. So the Lord Jesus didn't just tell people they could come to him, but he also proved it with actions. He went to the cross and he died so that we could all be saved. Now, something that I was just appreciating even today about this verse is when Paul says, of whom I am chief. So he says, Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. So we're all sinners. So Paul is saying, Christ Jesus came to save everyone. But then he says, of whom I am chief. Now, I don't think Paul is trying to have some debate here where, you know, compare everyone's sins and count up everyone's sins. And Paul thinks he's got more sins than other people. I think here, Paul is just taking it personally to himself. He's saying, man, I am the worst sinner. I'm in this group. And Paul was really appreciating personally, I'm a sinner, and Jesus died for me. And that's really why we have this meeting here tonight. You know, if there were a list of things that you could do in order to please God, well, we would give you that list, and we would just say, well, here's a free coffee, and have a good night, and follow this list. And we wouldn't spend so much time sharing this message. But what Paul did is Paul actually took that message and he trusted in it personally. Paul recognized that I am the chiefest of sinners. I am a sinner before God, and I needed the salvation that Christ can offer me. That's what we hope that you would do tonight. It's what we're trying to convince you of tonight, is that this is a message that the verse says, you can accept. It's a faithful saying. It's a truthful saying. And it's a message that you should accept, that Christ died to save you. The Bible says that we're all sinners, but the Bible also tells us that this message is something that you need to take to yourself personally. So tonight, I hope you can take some time to think about this. Think about, well, here's what the Bible says about me. Well, do I believe that? And then the Bible tells me Jesus died for me. Do I believe that? And the Bible tells me that if I call out to God for repentance, well, Jesus Christ can save me, can rescue me. I can be safe forever. You know, there's not a bunch of holes on the narrow way. There's not a bunch of holes that you can fall through because once you're saved forever. Once you're through that door, once Jesus Christ rescues you, you're safe and you're safe forever. So as the meeting continues, our hope is that someone tonight might trust in the gospel message, might believe that Jesus Christ came to save you.